Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, today we are giving away $200 in slot play to Sasquatch Casino up in Blackhawk. First four callers are going to get $50 each if you've won in the past. Not eligible to win again while you're up there. You can see how you can win a Chevy Colorado on Hagland Tracks. And if you don't want it, they're going to give you $25,000 in cash instead. Mace, you are getting ready for your bi-week vacation.
Not really a vacation. Because I'll still be doing the show.
Are you still doing DNVR?
I'm doing some writing, yes. I'm writing a couple.
But you're getting away.
Yeah, I'm changing venues is what I'm doing. And I'll get to spend a little extra time with my nearest and dearest. And
me?
And get to spend
getting time. Getting away from your farthest and thank goddess.
Hey, stop it. And also, you know what? Like, the family dogs are with my wife and daughter in Wisconsin.
Right.
So I get a chance to spend time with the dogs, too.
There you go. Well, good for you.
Ruby and Cooper are the dogs' names.
And you are leaving tomorrow. Is that right?
Tomorrow morning.
And you will be doing the show live from?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Where in the world is Carmen Mason? Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
What I'm about to say, if we're being completely honest, is the furthest thing from an original idea, but I'll give credit where credit is due. Our opening topic for the show I stole from somebody else. Namely,
imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, you know.
Would you like to know who I stole this topic from?
Who?
TheDNVR.com.
Ah, yes. Because
I knew that you guys were talking about it on your show today.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thanks for listening and watching.
I didn't listen. I didn't watch. I just happened to see something on
Twitter.
Because
you get enough of me in these 2 hours, right?
I would listen to that garbage if you paid me.
You don't need another hour and 15 minutes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, here's the difference between me and you. When I tell you I'm going to talk about something in the next segment, you are like a little kid who cannot wait for Christmas morning. You will bug me a week beforehand. What'd you get me? What'd you get me? Next day, what'd you get me?
Actually, when it comes to Christmas,
hold on, let me finish.
I'm quite the
opposite.
Let
me finish.
My mom will tell you that.
You have to know what I'm going to say, as you would say, because I want to be prepared for it. Mm-hmm. To which I've said to you many, many times, it's live radio. It's better to react than to prepare. But I get that. I know you graded the Broncos at the bye on TheDNVR.com. I said the just to humor you. I don't know if you went as in depth as we are going to go right now.
I was going to say, I saw the rundown. This is the grade show.
This is the grade segment.
Yeah.
This is the grade segment.
But there's another grade segment coming.
Well, we're gonna do some different things later
on.
But
it's a grade show.
Don't let anybody see the little man behind the curtain.
Oh.
With that, let's start it off. Give a grade for the offense.
Offense, C.
Yeah, I'd give it a C as well. I'm not trying to, just be agreeable with you, because you and I, we don't have to agree. We can certainly agree to disagree.
I had that same conversation this morning, by the way, because Zach Stevens and I, our grades were really close on pretty much everything.
Yeah, here's the thing.
It doesn't make for great debate.
I mean, the only thing that's debatable, is it a C plus or a C minus or a C? It doesn't qualify, really doesn't. It really does not qualify for a B minus, and I don't think it qualifies for a D plus.
I mean, you look at the Broncos in terms of points per game, they're in the lower third. Points per possession, they're mid-tier.
Right.
They've cut the turnovers, which has helped. They have longer drives than they did last year, more consistently, and they chew more time off the clock, which is the game they want to play. But they've overcome injuries on the offensive line and at wide receiver, but it has not been in any way spectacular.
Quarterback.
C.
That's where we'll have a little disagreement.
C to C plus.
That's where. Okay. Okay. Now you're
actually C plus.
Good.
Because C plus.
I was going to go B minus. You know what? I'm just going to come out and say it. We are 10 games into the season, and Drew Lock has never had a 10 game stretch like this.
Yeah.
Let's just call it like it is.
But remember, Drew Lock had to improve to be average.
Right.
And Teddy Bridgewater is average.
Right. I mean,
and that's the thing. Drew Lock was across the board bottom five quarterback last year, and Teddy Bridgewater is a mid-tier quarterback. So C to C plus, that reflect. You know what? That reflects average.
And you know what?
He's average.
I'll tell you one reason why, because maybe you can say that I'm grading on the curve. When I look at the past quarterbacks, going all the way back to...
Oh, if you grade on the curve... The Bronco post-Peyton curve?
Right.
He's an A minus.
Right. Right. And that's why I'm giving him a B minus. Because
so you are grading on a curve.
I'm grading on a curve a little bit because, honestly, when you look at Flacco and Simeon and Case Keenum, this is easily the best quarterback play they've had. But I'm going to throw something out at you.
No doubt.
You can make a lot of arguments on where Bridgewater has been a better quarter, has been a pretty good quarter. His completion percentage is good. His touchdown interception ratio is good. He's done a lot of good things.
But his sack rate is bad and his third down conversion rate is bad. Third down completion percentage is good. Conversion rate is bad.
Well, let's put that into perspective. Yeah. His third down passer rating or his completion percentage is 67% on third down, which sounds great, right?
A lot of checkdowns.
The problem is, okay, is that, he's only converted 33% mm-hmm. of all of his third downs. So, yes, and that's how you can take, this is the perfect example.
And this is why you say, well, in terms of passer rating, he's 11th. He's above average.
Right.
In terms of completion percentage, he ranks third. He's well above average. But then you say, like, QBR, for example, ESPN QBR, he's down at 24. Third down conversion percentage is low. Sack rate is too high. And that's why you take all, he's high in EPA. He's high in completion percentage over expected.
His quarterback rating is high.
Right. But that's where you...
But his QBR is low, right. Depending on which rating service you like.
And the thing is, that's why you kind of take it all together, put it all in a stew... And what you come out with is an average quarterback.
Right.
The highs balance out the lows. He right. is an average quarterback, which right. is what I think we really expected.
Right.
And by the way...
No, he's been better than expected.
Yeah.
Let's be really? Honest. Yeah.
Well, he's been about at New Orleans level, Teddy, in terms of performance.
Right. So he has reached his peak yeah. of his career. And again, he gets a lot of A's. And a lot of D's.
And oh, by the way, there's a very good chance that as of right now, based on what the free agent market looks like, y'all may not be happy with Teddy Bridgewater.
He's
Teddy
probably the best guy out there.
Probably the best guy on the market in free
yep.
agency.
Yep, no doubt. Okay, let's move on. Defense.
Defense.
You know what's funny? The red zone defense has been very good, right?
Yes.
So they have a lot of things where they're good, and then,
points,
oh boy.
Points per game is good. Points per possession is average.
Right. So what are you giving them?
B minus.
I'm grading on a curve again.
Okay.
I'm grading on expectations. They're C minus.
Okay.
Because.
Not on a curve. A B minus I think is fair if you're not on a curve.
Okay. I'll give them a C.
But they should. But you're not paying for B minus. It's the highest paid defense in football.
So because
You're paying for an A.
Fine. When you have Vic Fangio, the defensive genius, and he got every player that he generally speaking wanted.
Got the entire secondary that he wanted.
I understand that there have been lots of injuries to the linebacker core, and that certainly hurts.
No doubt.
But there have been games where the secondary has been shredded. There have been games where other teams have run the ball down the Broncos' throats. I don't think you can give the Broncos a B- just by looking at the opening Browns drive. No team can get a B minus. That's too high, is my point. And let's look at the last game that they played. Ball run down their throat. It's as if they didn't even have a game plan for Jalen Hurts.
You know what those games have in common?
They lost.
Curtis Robinson got forced in at linebacker. And when Baron Browning left because the back spasms flared up on Sunday and Robinson came in. I turned to my neighbors in the press box and said, if the Eagles are smart, they're going to run right at Robinson. I mean, he's an undrafted rookie. He's doing all he can, but he is sorely overmatched when he's out there and teams know it. And so you point to the Browns and the Eagles games, and in both cases, a good portion of what they did on the ground was simply basically going right at the broken, basically the broken limb. And that's what, and they just, okay, there's a weakness. You keep hammering it and you keep hammering it. So that's, I mean, there are excuses, there are reasons, but there are reasons, but there's a big reason why the Broncos had their biggest, their worst days in run defense against Cleveland and Philadelphia. It's because at that point, the injuries at inside linebacker became too much to overcome.
So you're going to stick with your B minus?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe I'll move it to a C, but honestly,
but also because you say maybe. Those guys, but you, look,
they've been average.
You had a great performance against Dallas a week earlier.
Okay,
which one game? A shutout until
the first three games, couple of rookie quarterbacks.
You have a shutout in week three. You have the Cowboys shut out for 55 minutes until garbage time. I can't look at the broad spectrum of the season and say this is a C minus defense, even though if you are grading on a curve, I think you have a point, but I'm not grading on a curve. I'm grading on the performance. The performance is B minus.
And you know what? They've been beaten early. They've been giving up points early. Then they give up points late when they need stops. They can't get them. It's all of those things combined. I'll move it up to a C. By the way, I can't believe we're actually doing this. We're kind of doing something on time on the show here. We had six topics. Grade the Broncos at the bye. Offense, quarterback, defense. We got through those three. We're pretty much on time going into the break. Coming up later on in the show in the second hour, we will grade the special teams, which will be a very quick grade. Coaching could be a relatively quick grade, maybe, but we'll go through each guy.
Yeah.
Each coordinator. I know one coordinator who's not going to get a good grade. And then we're going to grade George Payton. But coming up after the break.
I think I know who's going to get the highest grade of all of these.
What's that?
I think I know who's going to get the highest grade.
Of the coaches?
Of all those that you mentioned. Coaches, GM, all.
Oh, there's no doubt who's going to get the highest grade.
So we'll get into that at 5 o'clock.
With that, maybe the only happy person following the Broncos' loss. You can make an argument. I'm not saying he was. But the only happy guy following the Broncos' loss was Pat Shurmur. We'll tell you why next. After all I knew it had to be something to do with you. I really don't mind what happens now.
Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileEyeSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to MightyPH.com.
How would you evaluate the play calling in the Eagles game? Let me help you.
Suboptimal, as they would say on Men in Blazers.
18 running plays. And the game was close through 2.5 quarters.
And most of those runs came early.
Right. So, does Pat Shurmur look better, worse, or the same compared to Mike Shula, a former offensive coordinator himself, following the loss?
I think he looks better.
Doesn't he?
Yes. Yeah. But I kind of warned people about that late last week when I went on Twitter and just all I did was post the total offense rankings and the scoring offense rankings of offenses led by Mike Shula, which goes back a quarter century.
Right.
Because his first OC gig,
Tampa.
I was in college at USF. And I was at a lot of those Mike Shula Buccaneer games. I remember them well, and it was poor. I could use a stronger word, but it was poor.
Use a stronger word.
Yeah.
I want to hear a stronger
word. No, I'm not going to say it. And the only time that Mike Shula has had a competent offense was, oh, by the way, when he had a league MVP quarterback at his disposal. I mean,
well, he helped that league MVP too.
He did. But here's the thing. Mike Shula is a good quarterback coach. Okay? He's exactly who you'd want as a quarterback coach. And that MVP, he was able to channel his skills into being an MVP player in large part because of the coaching of Mike Shula as a position coach. That's what he does best. As an offensive coordinator, not so much.
Okay, now let's talk about Javonte Williams.
Yes, let's.
And go back to a quote that Vic Fangio had last week. Javonte Williams reminds me of Edgerrin James and Terrell Davis.
Yeah.
With that, Melvin Gordon will likely not be here next season. If George Payton believes that Melvin Gordon is going to be here next season, if he feels that he can get Melvin Gordon for a deal, first of all, do you want Melvin Gordon back? Let's just start right there.
At the right price, yeah.
After what's happened in two of the last three games?
That's part of the equation, but he's still averaging well over 4 yards per carry. He's leading you in touchdowns. Melvin Gordon is one of the league's best red zone backs, and that is a skill on a compressed field, finding narrow gaps, but being able to take advantage of holes when they flash open in a compressed area. And that's a skill that Javonte Williams is still developing. So if you told me Melvin Gordon is back at the right price next year, I'm fine with that.
Melvin Gordon's vision is very good.
Yes, it is.
That's what Javonte Williams needs to work on.
And it wouldn't hurt to have Melvin around to continue helping Javonte with that.
Do you think running back can help somebody with their vision? Really?
I think he can help guide him on, okay, this is what you're looking for. Like, here's the thing. You know how we talk about quarterbacks when they come from college, that they have to learn that you can't wait for the big window? It doesn't exist.
Right. Closes fast.
You can't wait for the big holes. Okay, in Dallas, hey, O-line was great. Dallas was off. There were holes you could have driven a truck through. But more often, those holes are going to flash open and be gone in a second. And that's what Javonte Williams needs to learn to do. And that he's got to have that vision to see it as it flashes open and then quickly attack it. And that's, I think, where Melvin Gordon can continue to help him, to guide him on what to look for.
Knowing you, you know the stat off the top of your head.
Probably not.
Yeah, I know you. Well, you know, sticky fingers is going to go on the computer and impress everybody. With that, what percentage of carries, and this is probably not hard to find out as you are currently playing with your mouse to find this, what percentage of carries has Melvin Gordon gotten so far, and what percentage has Javonte Williams gotten?
I don't know the exact percentage, but I know that they...
How many carries has each had?
I believe Melvin's averaging 12 carries a game, and Javonte is averaging 10.
Well, look at the total, and then we could figure it out that
way. Yeah, 118, 103.
Oh, that's pretty close.
So 11.8, 10.3. So if we get down to decimal points...
It's probably 52-48.
There's a carry and a half difference per game. So basically...
It's probably like 52-48, roughly, for Melvin Gordon. Roughly. Sound about right?
Well, more like a little... But probably like 54-46, but yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ah!
You are incorrigible.
That's what I do.
Okay. After the bye week, do you flip that? What percentage should happen? Because honestly, if Javonte Williams, who is going to be your main guy next year for sure, and you have 7 games to go, and You don't know if you're going to make the playoffs. I mean, I understand you are in contention. Don't get me wrong. And Melvin Gordon has now done what he did last year, putting the ball on the ground.
Javonte's put on the ground as often as Melvin, if we count the fumble that should have been called. In fact, it's funny, the Washington game, Javonte Williams fumbled. Replays show that he fumbled. It was ruled not a fumble.
Okay.
But every replay showed that he fumbled it. And that's why Melvin Gordon went in, because at that point, it's like, oh, we don't trust Javonte here. And then Melvin fumbled. And right. Now Melvin has fumbled again. So basically what you're looking at is two fumbles each, and Gordon has 139 touches, and Javonte Williams has 127, including receptions.
Well, Javonte Williams has fumbled the ball once.
Lost it once? No, like I said, I'm counting the one that was clearly a fumble that did not go into the stat books as a fumble, but we know was based on what we saw at the end of the Washington game.
Okay.
So basically, they've got two fumbles each, to be fair.
Okay, fine. With that.
So they're the same.
What percentage are you now giving the ball to Javonte Williams? You're going to keep it, Melvin Gordon, 52-48, or is it 54-47? Are you flipping it around?
Maybe slightly, but not much. You want to know why?
Not really.
If this team isn't in the playoff race, let's say it fades.
No.
I don't want Javonte Williams getting that accumulated wear and tear when it's meaningless.
Oh, he's not. He only has 103 carries.
No, I'm saying down the stretch. Let's say you lose these. Let's say you lose to the Chargers and Chiefs, and you're 5-7. You're basically done.
How are you going to get a guy vision if you don't get him out there? No. He needs to be out there. So he has.
I'm not making him the bell cow. I'm still splitting it basically 50-50. In that case, I am not going to run.
No, I'm not saying he takes 80% of the carries.
I'm not running Javonte Williams into the ground for a lost cause.
I am not suggesting he carries the ball 80% of the time.
I'm saying keep it 50-50.
No, because you know what? The best way to learn is to be out there. So,
but every hit that you accumulate.
You know what?
I'm focused on the long term. I'm focused on how do you maximize Javonte Williams in 22, 23, and 24. If you're out of it down the stretch, why do you have him taking a pounding when it's meaningless?
Where else is he going to get that experience? Seeing the hole.
I'd rather have him getting it next year.
Oh, I want him ready to see the hole, but when he's out there.
You're working on that in practice. And you know what? Even with his vision still improving, still learning, he's averaging 5 yards a carry. So in other words, he's still an effective running back.
What
you have to do is you have to be patient with him. Another reason why Melvin Gordon's still going to play better is this. Melvin Gordon's still better in the pass game, both in pass pro and as a receiver.
I'm just saying I'd flip it around and go 54-46 for Javonte Williams. Get him a little bit more experience, get his vision up to snuff, and it's not as if, listen, he's not going to finish the season.
They each touched the ball 10 times against Philadelphia. That may be where it goes.
I understand that. He's not going to finish the season with over 200 carries. 7 games to go. He has 103 touches. He's not going to finish the season with over 200 carries.
If he does, you know what? The only reason he would is if he had to be the bell cow because Melvin Gordon got hurt and you were in contention. Because I can imagine if the Broncos were 5-7, 6-8, a record like that, that if something happened to Melvin Gordon and Javonte was still healthy, they'd probably just go a little heavier with Mike Boone to ease the burden.
We're not talking about Derrick Henry type of carries. Get him out there to get him more experience. Remember, he's still a rookie. Let's not play the game. I'm worried about him getting hurt.
I'm not worried about him getting hurt. I'm worried about the long-term wear and tear.
He has 103 carries through 10 games. That's almost nothing. It's almost nothing. Nothing.
I mean, I don't want him all of a sudden going from... I mean, I'd like him touching the ball 15 times a game, if that's fair. Like,
well, 15 times a game, if he touched the ball 15 times a game, times 17, what's the math on that?
17 times 10, that's touches, that's including receptions.
Well, they don't pass to the running backs that much.
Are you kidding? They have 45 receptions. Between them.
Between them?
Yes. Javonte Williams has, I believe he's got 24 and Gordon's got 21.
That's fine.
Yeah.
How many carries a game? He's still going to get hit, by the
10,
way.
10.3 carries a game for Williams, 11.8 for Gordon.
What's that?
10.3 carries a game. Right now...
We're just going to have to agree to disagree.
Here's the thing. Javonte Williams has 12.7 touches a game. All right?
Yeah.
I don't want to see him be Derrick Henry.
No.
But I do. But this is true for both of them. I want to see both of them touching the ball 15 times a game the rest of the way.
You know what?
As long as they're in contention.
I'll be honest with you.
15 times a game.
And you can make...
And they should combine for 30 touches. If they don't combine for 30 touches a game, your game planning and your tactics are wrong.
And this, by the way, is a whole nother topic when it comes to red zone. How in the world are you so bad in the red zone with Sutton, Fant, Patrick, Judy, and Okwuegbunam? I'm not even putting in the running backs.
Yeah, well, and that's...
You don't even have to pass to the running backs. You have enough talent in terms of pass catchers.
Cortland Sutton and the fact that he has not been involved in the...
Is he in the witness relocation program? Because yeah, I haven't seen him over the last 3 weeks.
The last,
and not, to, not because the last he doesn't want to be available.
The last 3 games, he's been targeted 9 times.
Did you just make a joke?
Yeah, I just made a Ferris Bueller reference. And he has
nine times.
He has 5 receptions for 78 yards in the last 3 games. There you go.
Nine times.
Very, very good. Thank you, Danny. Thank you. So here's the thing.
You know what? Here's,
if you're Teddy,
you know
Britton,
what? Here's the thing means.
It
you know,
means
you know. No,
it means I'm gathering my thoughts.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say.
Yes.
It's like when you repeat my question to you.
Yes. It's
not that you didn't hear it. You need more time.
I'm gathering my thought here because I want to say
this
clearly.
Give us your thought. We got to hit a break.
In the bye week, at some point, somebody needs to tell Teddy Bridgewater that just because Cortland Sutton is covered does not mean he won't make the play. He wins jump balls. He draws pass interference penalties. Yep. Cortland Sutton should not have only 3 targets per game, as has been the case. By the way, it's been the case since Jerry Jeudy came back, and including week 1 when Jeudy played.
Right.
In the 4 games Jeudy has played, Sutton has had only 3 targets a game. They've got to bulk that up.
Are the Denver Broncos better than a 3-6 team right now? Not according to NFL.com's latest power ranking. How many other sub-500 teams are they behind in NFL.com's power rankings? We'll tell you next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
City light, flashlights when we fall into that night. Focused on what you feel.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mount Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. I don't know if we're going to even get to this segment because I want to get to something else. You have been kind enough to loan me your charger for your computer. Mine was sitting at 10%. Usually, I bring my charger with me. Mm-hmm. You were kind enough to let me use it. Right now, I'm sitting at 32%, and you're at 19%.
15 now.
Okay. Well, and you're panicking at 19%. Are you? 19%, you're panicking? I was at 10 in the red.
I just like...
Is this the way Andrew Mason rolls?
I like a little buffer zone.
Oh, you'll get buffer. There'll be plenty of buffer.
Yeah.
I sound like George Costanza. Oh, you'll get buffer. There's plenty of buffer where that came from.
And you're like, what's buffer? It's like when they're sitting around talking about the duty-free shop. What's duty? And that leads them singing, I like to stop at the duty-free shop. I like to stop at the duty-free shop.
Danny, let's do what's trending, please. Now.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
Well, if you want to know what NFL.com thinks of the Broncos, check this out. The Broncos check in with a 5-5 record in the playoff hunt at number 23. That means they are in the lower third. They're behind the 3-6 Seattle Seahawks, and they are behind the Eagles at 4-6. And before you put up an argument that the Eagles just beat the Broncos, my counter argument is then the Broncos should be ahead of the Cowboys. So let's not go there.
You can't go.
Let's ahead. Not go
well,
there.
Well, then the Jaguars should be ahead of the Bills, right?
That's
if
my
we're going
point.
By head to head.
That's my point.
We could transitive property our way through the NFL.
That's my point.
Being a pretzel.
That's my point. The Eagles are 4-6, and they are ahead of the Broncos in a crappy division. But they are behind two teams that are under 500. Wow. That's what NFL.com thinks of the Broncos. When you look at other power rankings, the Broncos aren't considerably higher, and they're still behind other teams at losing records.
Yeah, like I'm looking at the ESPN power rankings right now, and the Broncos, they're sitting at number 20, which is one spot behind the 4-5 Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
And that's, by the way, the Broncos are down five spots in a week.
Should be.
Yes. The Eagles only rose one spot by beating the Broncos. The Broncos fell five spots by beating the Eagles.
Say it again?
In the ESPN power rankings?
Yeah.
Broncos fell five spots by losing to the Eagles, but the Eagles only rose one spot by beating the Broncos.
Yeah.
So what they're telling you is that
it's not really it's much more of a win.
It's more notable that the Broncos lost to the Eagles than the Eagles beat the Broncos.
What do you I mean, we are completely making assumptions here. What if the Broncos had not played the Giants, Jags, Jets, and Redskins? Let's say they played...
The who? The football team?
Yes, I said it.
Well, they're the football team now. They haven't had that nickname in 2 years.
You know what?
I'm just
Some
saying.
Habits die hard.
Yeah.
With that...
Are they still the Oakland Raiders to you?
They are. No, they're the LA Raiders.
Wow. How about the San Diego Chargers?
Minneapolis Lakers. All the way, baby.
All right. Have the Colts moved back to Baltimore?
What's that?
The Colts moved back to Baltimore?
In my mind, they have.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Is there a problem here?
No, just saying.
Okay. Yeah, I still call them the Chicago Staleys. I don't call them the Bears. I call them the Staleys.
Go back for the Decatur Staleys.
There you go.
Not even Chicago.
Right. With that, let's just say for the sake of argument, the Broncos didn't have the luxury of playing
those four teams.
And let's just say, okay, so I'll look at the standings right here. Let's pick out marginal teams. Teams that are roughly 5-5. What if they had to play the Colts? They're 5-5. What if they had to play the Vikings? What if they had to play the Panthers? And what if they had to play the 49ers?
I'll tell you, the Panthers, it depends whether you get them with McCaffrey or not.
Okay.
Like, for Carolina, they're 4-1 with C-Mac. They're 1-4 without him.
Generally speaking, we don't need to go by game because we've got to hit a break.
But literally, yeah, that's what if you get him without if you get him with McCaffrey, you probably lose.
Okay,
there you go.
And then let's just go with who else did I put San Francisco?
You said the Vikings 4-5.
Vikings, yeah.
Yeah, you probably lose.
Okay, what about the
Vikings just beat the Chargers too?
What about the 49ers who won last night? By the way, did you see Von Miller get pancaked by George Kittle? It was as embarrassing of a play, specifically for a Hall of Famer, as you will ever see.
Does that
he was flat out embarrassed.
The only thing that
Kittle was missing was a saddle as he rode Von to the ground.
Does that make George Kittle Cam Newton's granddad?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because he was Von Miller's dad last night.
There you go. Did you see that block?
Yes.
It was He pile-drived him. Now, George Kittle is arguably one of the greatest blocking tight ends of all time.
Yeah.
Who has pass-catching skills? And you can make the case he is the greatest blocking tight end of all time that has great pass catching.
You think maybe Vaughn is rethinking a long-term contract with the Rams because he's going to have to see George Kittle twice a year?
No. Okay. I don't think so. But with that, even with the 49ers and the other teams that I mentioned, let's say of those four games, they split it.
Probably, because look, the Broncos are...
They're 3-7.
Yeah, the Broncos are a mid-tier team.
Right.
And these are other mid-tier teams. And basically, these are coin flip games. You know, you go against these other mid-tier teams, sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you're going to lose. I mean, I know it sounds kind of cliche, but that's why I'm not sure the bottom falls out on the Broncos here coming out of the bye, because the Chargers have fallen back to mid-tier.
Usually when you're picking 19...
The Bengals are mid-tier. I mean, I think the Broncos are going to be able to pick up enough wins here. You know, maybe they beat the Chargers, beat the Bengals, beat the Lions, to where... Even though it's not going to feel like they're much of a team, they're still going to be technically in it.
Usually when you are picking 19th in the draft, you can make the case you're in purgatory.
You're a playoff team if you pick 19th.
You are?
Yeah, because they're now that you have seven teams from each conference in the postseason.
With that.
18th is like where the purgatory really is now.
Okay. But they're not. You can make the case they're not the 19th best team in football. A strong case.
Well, they're not the 19th best team in football.
But that's where they'd be roughly picking in the draft. So if anything, they should be picking
right now.
Higher.
They're picking 14th.
Oh well, right now, forget about tie breaks. They are, according to the league standings, according to ESPN.com, when you add it all up, when you look at league standings,
right.
The Broncos are sitting at number 19.
Right when they're 19th, but like in the draft reflects them being actually
thank goodness.
Team 19.
The draft does.
Yes, because they're picking...
They said they're 14th.
They pick 14th.
Yeah.
So that means there are picks 15 through 32, so that's 18 teams ahead that pick after them. So the Broncos, that makes the Broncos... So basically, if you say that they're 19th, the draft reflects that. The draft order reflects that as of today.
So where are they picking in the draft right now?
14th.
But according to this... They're the 19th. They're 19th.
Is that's not draft order. That's where they rank.
That's where they rank.
You'd invert it.
Okay.
You'd invert it. Because 19th.
Oh, that's right. I'm
19th
not,
means you're 14th.
Just because
worst.
I'm not smart doesn't mean you have to point it out.
No, I'm just saying.
Danny, why does he always do this to me? Just because you did well on the SATs. You don't need to go boasting about it in a very passive way.
Mace just wants to make sure that we get all the information right. He's not telling you you're dumb or anything.
No.
I don't think any of us would
stupid.
Do that.
I was worried this was going to devolve into that whole thing.
That's
that,
right.
That
you're
Laura
right.
Laura Ingram, you thing. Did you see that today?
That's unbelievable, isn't it? That was like a who's
you!
On first.
It was like who's on first. Yeah.
Wasn't that hilarious?
Yeah, it was.
You got to check that out.
Oh,
it's very funny.
Yeah. But our listeners should check it out.
All right. What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
A very happy birthday to a Nuggets player today, and he had a decent game last night. We'll talk about who that is.
Don't
and
tell us who
maybe
it is.
If he needs some more time on the court in the coming weeks. Also, a couple unexpected results over NFL Week 10, and with it officially in the books, we'll take a look at which was the most surprising. That's on the other side right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us, mileyesports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver at Eric Goodman.
You keep pulling the charger out of my laptop now.
I know.
Why?
Because I'm a child.
I mean, you're old. You're 9 years older than me.
I'm a child.
Obviously.
I'm very much a child. Make no mistake about it. When you're not looking, I'm yanking that thing out.
I bet.
I am a child. I make. I'm proud of it, actually.
Yeah.
I am.
Your humor is still kind of straight up 13-year-old.
I'm like Dennis Miller, where he famously said, and I'm paraphrasing here, 50% of the jokes are for the audience and the other 50% are for me.
Yeah.
So I will be pulling that charger when you're least looking. Time now for the final word.
The final word.
We're holding it.
Yes.
Presented by Greenfield's Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfield's has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, happy birthday to Bol Bol. He had 7 points, 2 rebounds, 1 block in 11 minutes last night when the Nuggets fell to the Mavs in Dallas 111-101. What birthday gift, something related to basketball, would you give to Bol to help his play?
Playing time.
Playing time.
That's pretty simple. By the way, what was Manute thinking when he named his son Bol?
Probably the same thing that Dwayne's parents were naming when they named him Dwayne.
How about when God Sham God, his parents named him God?
Yeah.
Right.
That's something.
I don't understand.
Remember he went by Sham God Wells for a year, then he went back to being God Sham God?
I mean, seriously, you and I both have children. Why would you do that to your child?
Name him God?
Well, name him Bol Bol.
Bol Bol?
Yeah.
I mean, do we remember Boutros Ghali, who was the Secretary General of the UN?
How about the parents of Dick Trickle? What the hell were they thinking?
They named him Richard. He chose to go by Dick.
They named him Richard.
What about anyone who is named Richard Johnson? Dick Johnson.
There was a newscaster in Chicago named Dick Johnson. Yeah. But that's not as obvious. Dick Trickle is. They named him Richard. They did not have to do that.
By the way, Bol Bol's full name is Bol Manute Bol.
So not only did Manute name him Bol Bol, but then he named... Why not Manute Bol Bol?
Or Manute Bol the second. Yeah, Manute Bol Jr.
He was named after his late great-grandfather and Dinka chief, Bol Chol Bol.
I got it. But then what about that guy's parents? What were they thinking?
I'd have to go and look up the backstory on Bol Chol Bol to
You know what I'm
going to
do? In commercial break, I'm going to Ancestry.com and I'm going to figure this out.
So it was a birthday for
After
Bol
I go
Bol.
To FarmersOnly.com.
Oh my gosh.
Just in case you missed it, several unexpected results. NFL Week 10, the Dolphins beat the Ravens back on Thursday night. Washington took down Tampa Bay. And last night, the Rams couldn't get anything going in a loss to the 49ers. What was the most surprising outcome in the NFL this week in your eyes?
I mean, I'd still say Washington over Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Even though the scale of the 49ers' dominance last night was a shock. But... the Bucs have no business letting Washington hang around. The thing the Bucs need to be concerned about right now, by the way, is that their defense cannot get off the field. In the fourth quarter, Washington salted away the game with a 19-play, 80-yard drive that chewed up all but the last 29 seconds of the game.
By the way, congratulations to the NFL. Where one of the most popular sayings, which is a cliche, has now rung true to become a trifecta.
Mm-hmm.
Did you follow me on that?
A trifecta.
We have every given Sunday, every given Monday, and every given Thursday.
Yeah, and it happened this past week.
Any given Thursday, yeah. Any given Monday, and any given Sunday.
Any given game day.
Right.
I mean, who's, like, you look at this coming weekend, you know, who's to say that the Vikings aren't going to upset the Packers, or that the Seahawks aren't going to beat the Cardinals? Seahawks are 3-6. Cardinals are 8-2.
Well, is Kyler Murray playing?
That's the thing. And Russell Wilson. Although Russell Wilson and the Seahawks were shut out last week in the snow.
Kyler Murray's not playing. All bets are off on the Cardinals. Yeah. Let's be
There's
honest.
No great team this year.
You can make that case.
Yes. There are a couple of very bad ones,
yeah.
Houston and Detroit, but there is no great team. It reminds me a little of the 08 season, which ended with Pittsburgh beating Arizona in the Super Bowl. Also ended with Mike Shanahan being fired. Will a similar season end with a Broncos coach firing? We'll see.
It was very informative. What happened in 2007?
That was Patriots going 16-0 and losing to the Giants.
1968.
That was Jets over Colts Super Bowl III.
1947.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Now you lost me there.
That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, you can walk in any store, try out the appliances before.
Don't even think about it.
Don't even think about what?
Pulling the charger out of my computer. I saw what you were trying to do.
Is that the LA charger or the San Diego charger?
Just tell everyone about Mountain High Appliance.
Why don't you tell us about Mountain High Appliance, Mace?
You can try before you buy at Mountain High Appliance.
What does that mean?
It means that you can get the appliance, take it home, see if you like
it. No, you don't take it home.
You bring it home.
No, you don't bring it home. You actually try it out in their store.
Oh, I thought you didn't know that? I thought you could actually get it home for a while.
No, you don't get to rent it for a week.
Okay.
No, you try it out in the store.
My bad.
But tell me about their sales staff that's really experienced.
Oh, it's the most experienced sales staff in the market.
No question about it. And why do you want to work with an experienced sales staff, young Padawan?
Well, but you want to work with an experienced sales staff because they will guide you to the right appliance for what you need in your home.
And where can you find Mountain High Appliance?
You can find them all over the Front Range. They've got locations in Louisville, Littleton. They've got the Clearance Center. They've got a location down in Colorado Springs, I believe, as well. All over the place.
Dude, you are their new spokesman. Coming up after the break, how wild is the AFC West going to be with everybody thinking the Broncos season is over, and it isn't. That's next.